Hi, this is Tom from the Happiness Quotient. Thank you for dropping by. You are one of my favorite listeners because if you're listening to this episode, you're hearing it before we changed our name to the Happiness Quotient. Just so you won't be surprised when you listen, you'll hear me talk about Baker Street with Tom Pollard. Believe me, you are in the right place. We've changed our name, but the excellence of the podcast just keeps getting better. Before we get to the episode, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, adventure-related podcast elements that can't be found here on the podcast itself. Thanks for being here. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave me a review, a rating, and share it with someone you care about. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Baker Street with Tom Pollard. Thank you for taking time out of your precious day to be here. It means a lot to me. It really does. So pull up a chair, get cozy, put your feet up. It's story time. Thank you to all of my listeners for the support that you've shown me and have given me by sharing episodes on social media or sharing episodes with friends by word of mouth. Baker Street has been on the podcast charts recently in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Colombia, Thailand, Germany, France, Sweden. We are everywhere, and it is all because of you. Seriously, thank you so much. And the last couple of episodes that we've had have been amazingly popular. A Guitar Gate with YouTube sensation Michael Palmisano, my season 2, episode 26, is literally the most downloaded and listened to episode in the history of Baker Street with Tom Pollard. It's been up for less than 3 weeks, and he far surpassed my number one episode, which was about narcissism, and an interview with a Jungian analyst, Nathan Schwartz Salon. And then just a week or so ago, I had Ann Sarnoff on, an old friend of mine from high school. She is head of Warner Media's Studios and Networks Group. Ponder that. As far as I know, you cannot go any higher up in the entertainment industry. Yes, one degree of separation for all of you who purport to know me, who admit to it. You are that close to knowing Ann Sarnoff at the top of Warner Media and Michael Palmisano, who is huge. I love that guy. He is the man, and I'm obsessed with his YouTube videos. All right. I went off course. We're listening to, I just have to introduce the band that we're listening to right now that gets me so jazzed. This is the Garcia Birthday Band, and as you can imagine, they're named after none other than Jerome Garcia, the man, the myth, the legend of the Grateful Dead. And the Garcia Birthday Band I first discovered on the Free Music Archive, but I have gone and done a deeper dive into their music by visiting their website, gbblive.com, and took the liberty of playing music from their sampling of videos on their website, which I hope you will visit. And this is a cut from the Timberline Music Festival that was loaded only a year ago. It's hard to believe, as long as the coronavirus has kept us home, if you will, and close down the music world in terms of live music that we can attend, of which I'd love to do. This festival was literally only a year ago. Incredible to think of it. And so this is like a Labor Day mountain music festival that celebrate the songs of the Grateful Dead. And so the Garcia Birthday Band did this excellent rendition of Eyes of the World. I wanted to share with you basically that I am going to be doing a live online Everest event in November. We are looking at November 19th as the date now. I have to check on the schedule of a technical director and my marketing person who is going to help me put this event on. I unfortunately can't provide the show for free because I have to buy a ton of stuff in order to do it, the platform and the software, but I'm going to be posting soon where you can register for the event, and if it shows enough promise with people outside of our general time zone here in the United States, I'll maybe do one or two to accommodate my friends in Australia and those in Europe who are particularly big fans of the mystery of Mallory and Irvin, which, as you know, I have a ton of experience. I've been on two momentous historic expeditions to search for the bodies of George Mallory and Sandy Irvin. And I think our efforts in 2019 with Renan Ozturk and Mark Sinnott and National Geographic, well, we didn't solve the mystery, but I think it kind of put to bed the need to go back, even though people will always go back to look for Mallory and Irvin, especially if they can find somebody to give them a film budget for it. Parkheads and Fijis, it's homelands and thoughts of its own. Wait now to shatter that you are the song at the morning. So, okay. Back on course here, I want to share with you an amazing review that someone wrote for me on Apple Podcasts, and it says, positive vibes, much needed positive spin on the human condition through interviews and views. Tom is a great host. That feels good when I hear people write things like that. So far, so good. I've gotten all 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast. I hope you'll go and review. And I welcome it all. I'd like to hear the criticisms, if there are any of you who have some kind ones, at least, and you're listening because there's something inherent in it for you. And please go and leave a rating for me. It makes a big difference because it kind of helps get the word out there. But more importantly, please share this episode, any episode that you find enriching. These are stories that inspire. That's my hashtag, if you will, stories that inspire. And that's what I endeavor to do, is to inspire myself first and foremost, but maybe one other person finds some inspiration in the people I introduce you to and in the stories I tell. So if you think, who knows, maybe you could make someone's day. Maybe somebody needs a little bit of inspiration. And if you shared an episode with them, it might just make a difference in their day. All right, back on course. One thing I should probably preface before every single episode of Baker Street with Tom Pollard is that you shouldn't believe a word I say. When you hear a person profess something to be true, to tell you this is true, be it a podcaster, politician, priest, somebody who wears fancy clothes because some organized religion or a political party put a hat on them or something like that, one must immediately go inside of their heart and ask if what you or that person is hearing serves the higher good, their own higher good. And if it doesn't, if it doesn't feel right, if there's something askew that causes questioning or a slight alteration of a straight course forward, then the answer to the question is in that. Only your heart can tell you what's true. And people today, or since humankind came into existence, people don't use discernment, and many people don't. A very small percentage of people truly use discernment. And when we go deep into our hearts, when we clear out all the clutter, the fog, the blurry eyes, if you will, that are made when we listen to a lot of news, or maybe, hey, I'm a coffee aficionado, but maybe when we drink too much coffee, or maybe too much alcohol, or listen to this news source or that news source and get caught up in political bickering, and that creates dis-ease in our soul, in our ability to be calm, which I'm not right now. I'm charged up because of the Garcia birthday band, and I'm moving. So those of you who have sent your many lovely and kind concerns about my living situation, we have found a beautiful house, which is actually bigger than where we live now, a 3-bedroom home, not too far from here. The universe provided. I opened my arms. I did not worry. I did not get angry about my situation. Check that. For about an hour, I was like pretty ticked off. And how could this happen to me? I got over that really fast. I mean, like, get over it, man. Anyway, so at the same time, I thought, you know what? I'm going to move to this place. And why the heck have I been waiting on buying a house? I'll tell you why. Because I've lived here at this place. It was so inexpensive that the dream was to buy land and build a house. And then moving, all of a sudden, rent went way up. Wrote a check for first month, the deposit and everything. It's like, whoa, okay. Maybe we're going to speed up the timeline of building and buying a house. And so that's that. All good. I got a moving on Saturday, and then it'll probably take me 2 weeks just to clean the basement out here. So stoked. Thank you for your concern. All right, back to it. Oh, man. Here's the deal. You know, people think just because a person is in a position of authority or power or wears a fancy garb or hat or robe or is in a position of power politically or whatever, even a mystic who wears flowing saffron robes, people are inclined to just believe what they say because of that perceived position of power and authority, merely accepting their words as truth. One has to understand that in order to look up to someone, right, like a mystic, let's just really simplify it, because I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to criticize politicians, even though you've got to be somewhat intoxicated by power, even just to run for such a high, like the office of president. In order to call somebody a guru or to follow the words of like, say, a mystic or some master, we know of the Indian mystics, for instance, like Neem Karoli Baba and people like that. Then in order to sit at their feet and accept their words of wisdom and knowledge, not that they're not incredibly brilliant in terms of their ability to perceive, this is the point, that judgment is the only way those relationships can happen, right? So if we look up to someone as the source of knowledge, we are not only judging them and putting them in a completely different place that we are, but we are also judging ourselves and deeming ourselves unfit for knowing, being all-knowing, coming from that place of love. Although we are indeed, like as young Carl Jung said, that we are all capable of malevolent and evil acts, and we have a dark side. If we don't feed that, what the truth is that we are all loving beings, and we come from a place of love. So listen to what your heart is telling you, and don't need to listen to somebody in front of a pulpit at at a weekly gathering of religious followers in order to get your truth. Your truth is right inside of your heart. Oh, man, I'm getting off my soapbox right now. I'm just saying that. Just think about it. That's all I'm saying. Think about it. You might think I'm full of it.
I wish I was a headlight on a northbound train. I wish I was a headlight on a northbound train.
You know what I'm not full of? The Garcia Birthday Band is legitimate.
Cool Colorado rain.
Okay. I had told you a little bit that I am planning a live online event on my Mount Everest expeditions, focused, generally speaking, around the mystery of Mallory and Irvin. Were they the first to climb Mount Everest? And that I'm looking at November 19th as the date. If you're interested in getting on the mailing list to be notified about it, I will, of course, use this podcast to tell you. But reach me at tom.dharma.pollard@gmail.com. tom.dharma.pollard.com. At gmail.com, I will put you on the mailing list. I'm going to be deciding in the next few days. I'm a little busy. I'm moving, people, so it's not like I can nail this down right now. I'll know within a week, getting together with my helpers. Okay, 2016, I had been invited to... Now I'm going to talk about Mount Everest for a minute, and then I'm going to let you go on your busy way. You have to take your feet off the... You can stay and fall asleep in the chair. 2016, I got offered an opportunity to go film a documentary on Mount Everest, on the south side of Mount Everest. And our goal was to go and look for artifacts or remnants of Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing's first ascent of Mount Everest, first known ascent of Mount Everest. And I was thrilled to be asked because, having taken part in the discovery of the body of George Mallory on May 1st in 1999, which was technically found by Conrad Anker, a friend of mine, who actually made the actual discovery, I was thrilled that I would have this opportunity to go and look for remnants of Sir Edmund Hillary's final, one of his last camps on the mountain. And I had met Ed Hillary back in the early 2000s at the 100th anniversary of the Explorers Club, did an interview. I shared that interview with you, and I think it was episode 4 of this podcast, the first season. And at the time, my mom was getting ill, and I was hesitant to accept this offer, and it was good. It was paying well, so it wasn't easy for me just to turn my head away at. It wasn't as if I had to pay money. I was going to make a legitimate several months of income from it. My mom continued to get ill, so I kept the person who wanted to hire me at an arm's length, and he was rightly so saying, "Pollard, can you make up your mind, man? Like, we're getting down to the wire. I need a guy who's potential to go to the summit is big and who can film in the death zone." So it was February, and that's late. Let me tell you, if you haven't made your decision to go to Everest by mid-February, you're kind of almost screwed, because we're talking permits and all the planning and the training. And second week in February, my mom turned ill, much more ill, not just kind of slow, but really turned ill. And I was hesitant to say yes about this Everest thing, because I thought, God, if I go away on Everest and my mom passes away while I'm gone, I'll probably always feel some mourning and sadness in my heart that I had not been beside her during those final days. And so anyway, my sister and I spent about a week at my mom's house, and lo and behold, on February 13th in 2016, my mom passed in the early hours of the morning. And I hadn't really been thinking about Mount Everest at the time, but several hours after, probably five, 6 hours after, I decided I'm going to take a shower. My mom, we had done all the, you know, all the things that you need to do after somebody passes away. And we sat by her for hours and talked and cried and laughed. And I finally, you know, the person came and, if you will, got her, and we dressed her up and made her look really beautiful. And I should probably cut away to some music. I didn't think that this was going to make me feel emotional, but I just said, you know, I'm gonna hop in the shower and just, you know, kind of let the waters wash over me and cleanse me of this sadness. And while I was showering, I had this most overwhelming sense that there was a presence, a very, very, very powerful presence surrounding me, very beautiful and loving and kind presence. And you know that feeling you get in the back of your neck, that when it's almost like, you know, like the, if you will, the God receptor is buzzing and wide open, and God, if you will, source or the truth of the universe is filling you. In that moment, in that beautiful moment of almost suspended animation, I knew that I was going to go on this Mount Everest expedition. And then two, I knew that I would be safe no matter what. It was this weird feeling. And I know you think, oh yeah, you always think you're not going to die on a mountain climbing expedition. But in all honesty, it was like, I knew I was going to go. I knew I had the blessing of my mother. And most importantly, I knew that no matter what, I wasn't going to die. It had nothing to do with going to the summit or not. I just knew I was not going to die. Weird. I've never had that overwhelming feeling. Usually it's like, oh man, I could die. Those are the things you usually think, not like there's no way I'm dying, which is probably what half the people say before they die on Mount Everest anyway. But I felt it deep inside. Fast forward, three of us one day with one of the guy that I ended up summiting with, Lakpa, Pinasa, Sherpa, and two others, we were climbing up from base camp up to camp one through the Khumbu Icefall. And just as we had surmounted probably a 50 to 60 foot giant tower, if you will, like a big, huge block of ice, and having emerged from the rubble, this area they call the popcorn fields, which from afar it looks like a bowl of popcorn, but when you're in it, you are dwarfed by the kernels of popcorn, and it's a very, very dangerous place to be. And we had just emerged from the popcorn fields and climbed atop this gigantic block where, if you will, the Khumbu Icefall levels off into the Western Coombe, what's called the Western Coombe, CWM, which is a Welsh word for kind of an open valley between two mountains, if you will, or that's pretty loose translation because I actually probably don't even know if that's exactly what it is, but anyway, so we all surmounted this gigantic block, and believe me, it was high up. There was ladders and ropes, fixed ropes, and it's like you throw your leg up on it, and you're like, oh, and you take this breath, and you know, but out of breath, completely wasted and annihilated, because it was our first time up to Camp One to about 19,000 feet. So our bodies are fully taxed. And all of a sudden, we heard a gigantic, loud crashing noise about 100, maybe 150 feet away from us, and looked over and observed a serac, a tower of ice, collapsing not too far from us and then tumbling down the mountain. And just as we saw this in great wonder, because the weather was getting warm, the one that we were standing on, this gigantic, gigantic block of ice, like the size of a football field, big, literally started wobbling from side to side. I mean, imagine that. It started moving, like back, like kind of waving, almost like we were experiencing what it might feel like to be in an earthquake. And I looked at one of the guys, and he literally said, "We're fucked." All right, now I'm going to have to put a, I might have to bleep that out because I don't want, I want kids to be able to listen to this. And in the look in his eyes were, we are literally dead. It's over. And it sure felt that way. I'm going to admit to you right now. And there were terror, there was terror in the three sets of eyes that I was looking at. And can I tell you something? In that moment, I felt the exact presence that I felt in the shower that day. I just felt completely calm, almost like the words, "You will be safe," were spoken to me. And I just did not feel any fear or terror. And they all ran, they all ran in one direction. And I'm not saying I didn't run. And then, well, whatever running you can do with a full pack on, crampons, and, you know, at 19,000 feet, I ran in the opposite direction of the other three. And, you know, probably 3 or 4 minutes later, I stopped and turned around, and the block of ice did not collapse. However, those guys turned and came back and met me because I went toward camp and they went back down, kind of, if you will. And we were fine and it was over. But the power, the sheer magnificent, awesome power of this mountain was so evident in that moment, and understanding how tiny of a blip we are on the face of this planet. Blew my mind. I was really moved to tears by it, and so impressed at not only how beautiful and powerful and, if you will, emotionless mountain at how it was. I was overjoyed at my own insignificance, and I mean that in the right way. Not I'm nothing, but I'm insignificant. Only in so far as that I come and go. I'm a blip in time. And so therein, how can I make a difference in that time and place? How can I actually make a difference on this planet? And that is, and I knew it right then and there, it's coming from a place of love and being truthful to myself, not trying to be some model for other people or, you know, preacher looking down. Children, listen. No, I just felt the power of love right there. And so, one, thank you to my mom for somehow conveying to me that I would be safe, because those three guys probably crapped in their pants. I didn't. I felt really, really calm and in a beautiful place. So that's my story about my mom and almost dying, but knowing I wasn't going to on Mount Everest. A couple of weeks later, I would go on to summit on May 22nd, 2016. My climbing partner, Sherpa, and I, Lhakpa Panasa Sherpa, summited at 2:40 a.m. And it happened to be right at the peak of the full Buddha moon. The May full moon is called the full Buddha moon, or the Buddha full moon in Nepal, and celebrates the birth of the Buddha. And so even though it was the middle of the night, it was brilliant and lit and glowing, and we could see for miles and miles and miles. And in one of the most poignant acts of my entire life, as Lhakpa and I stood on the summit, I dispersed some of the ashes of my mother, my father, and my brother from the summit of Mount Everest. That was pretty amazing. Stay centered. Come from a place of love. We're all in this together, guys. Life this life in this realm, we're all going to die. We're all going in the same direction. It's really one team, even though it doesn't feel like it. We are all on the same team, and whatever our future holds for us, it can be more beautiful if we make that choice. Handle yourselves with integrity. Mend ways with those you might have disagreed with in the past or had harmed in the past. Fight hard for your beliefs. Vote on November 3rd. Use your voice. Don't lean too far left. Stay somewhere in the center. Keep your wheels on the tracks, people. I love you. Peace and love. This is Baker Street with Tom Pollard. If you're interested in finding out more about me, please go to eyesopenproductions.com. There is a contact button where you can find information on how to reach me. Thank you again. I will see you all real soon. So quiet, it's close on the heels of the day. Wake up to find out that you are the eyes of the world. Its beaches, its homelands, and thoughts, its own. Wake now, discover that you are the song that the morning brings. Heart has its seasons, its evenings, its songs, its own.
Sometimes we walk alone. Sometimes the songs that we hear are songs of our own. Wake up to find out that you are the eyes of the world. Heart has its beaches, its homelands, and thoughts of its own. Discover that you are the song that the morning brings. Our heads, its seasons, its evenings, its songs, its song.
If you're still here, thank you for visiting. I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll also visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, as well as adventure content and interview snippets that can't be found here on the podcast. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll share this, leave me a review, a rating, and come back soon.